This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. On the grains, corn and soybean exports were both disappointing this week, and that will likely become the norm. Last year, South America produced very poor crops, and this year their production, particularly in Brazil, swung full pendulum in the positive direction. That is a swing of nearly 1.5 billion bushels of corn production year to year. Last year's Brazilian soybean crop was 86 million metric ton, and this year they are at 114 million metric ton and climbing. Brazilian farmers were reporting record soybean yields, just as many U.S. farmers had done here last season. Their poor production a year ago gave the United States an export opportunity, which was of good benefit. Bulls have acted, however, like their record South American crops this year were somehow in the market. We're not going to have a great impact on our exports. Wrong. USDA reported a measly 3,800 metric ton of new crop soybeans were sold Thursday. I would expect the U.S. soybean carryover can reach or exceed 600 million bushel. South Africa had the same full swing change in production for corn. Global corn and soybean buyers can source cheaper supply than U.S. prices from other places. The price of soybeans has dropped, undercutting any help that Brazilian farmers may get from their currency. Their storage is the short-term type, and they will need cash flow for next year's inputs. Brazilian farmers are storing for lower prices, whether they know it or not. U.S. farmers traded cash corn last fall to elevators for long July futures, and with first notice day approaching, will have to liquidate a roll to September. I don't think that owning futures made them any money, but they didn't pay storage. The acreage report and July weather are the next major risk points. I see the September contract as an old crop contract, as there is a lot of bins full of grain yet in the country. Unless there is a bullish acreage report and stress from weather in July, the weather premium in September corn is large and will deflate. L&A looks for about the same corn acreage and about a half a million more soybean acreage than were indicated by farmers in the June report. Crude oil and corn often track each other. I think that the new lows in crude oil are a bellwether for the corn market. Crude oil has reaffirmed a bear market. We have essentially been trading sideways in a corrective pattern in corn since last September 1st, and the bear market in corn may resume just as it has in crude. It was the fourth pricing of no-price established contracts that set the low in corn last year at the very end of August. I see these July corn longs held by farmers as part of these elevator programs as a similar market event where they pick on farmers. The market already has their corn, so it does not need to bid up to buy it. The soybean market reaffirmed its bear market with new lows this week. There should be some short covering between now and the USDA reports next Friday, but it will not carry unless reports are bullish. Hard to say what constitutes a bullish acreage report. Most have said they expect fewer corn acres, so it may take over 1 million less acres to be bullish. It is hard to see a bullish acreage report for soybeans. They are still double-cropping soybeans behind wheat. I am in the Murphy's Law camp right now that whatever can go wrong for this market will. I don't think that the planting was delayed enough to have shifted many acres from corn to soybeans, and that Informa may be right that none were. Have you considered that the highs may be in for corn? I think that is a possibility. Lower would definitely be the market direction that would hurt the most people. I do not consider funds to be people. NOAA added a little yellow over northwest Iowa on their drought monitor map. I have no idea where they got that. We've had some nice rains this week, followed by a few days of cool temperatures, which are supposed to be followed by more seasonal warm temperatures and more rain in the forecast. Crops are excellent here. We have large subsoil moisture reserves to get us through next month. I see the greatest crop risk as hail. We are never bulletproof, however, if Mother Nature starts taking shots at us, but so far we've ducked and been missed here. On the cattle, USDA says that feedlots placed 113% more cattle on feed this May than a year ago. They were aggressive sellers too, moving 9% more fat cattle. That left 103% on feed. All numbers were within trade pre-report guesses, but the large placements will weigh on deferreds. One could argue that June live cattle, which expires next week, aligned the basis with the low end of the week's cash cattle trade. With more cattle on feed, packers are going to have to continue to maintain large kills. They have the margin giving them incentive to do that. Feedlots went into this period very current in marketings, which will continue to provide some support despite the seasonal weakness. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.